are about to hear a life-changing message preached at the Qadesh Family Church in Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. In Galatians 2:20, it tells us that we are crucified with Christ. It says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." In this Sunday's message, you will learn about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus died so that we can live, so that we can come alive as Christians. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this anointed word as you learn how he makes us whole again and brings us back from the dead.
Oh, how great that day will be when Jesus shall appear. All the world will see him in the sky. We shall have the body that know no sin or death. We shall be with Christ the Lord of life. If you want to get there, all the world, its mansions and wealth shall be no more. There will be confusion in the world. Many are the people who will regret that day, but will be saved with Christ the Lord of. Precious stone. We'll walk on streets of gold, and we shall see the glory of the Lord. We shall see God's people like Paul and Moses do, and we shall sing his praise forever.
Hey, we almost missed out. We don't need no script. We dynamical. It's our church. Amen. Thank you, Sister Ariel. And as we are preparing for the word, amen, let us welcome our very own pastor, our shepherd, our in-house father, Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Hallelujah.
Put your trust in you. Come on, let's lift our voices. Hallelujah. I see you, Victoria. Yes, you know
your name.
Yeah. Diane, I see you. There is no other, faithful God. So loving and true. See, you want me to mention your name? Okay, I see you, see her.
Your name.
Put your trust
in you.
There is no other,
faithful God.
So loving and true. Oh, how I love His name so sweet. Give the Lord a word.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
No other name means more
to me.
How I love the name of Jesus. Freestyle.
Oh, how I love His name so sweet.
How I love the name. Give the Lord some freestyle. No other name means more to me. Come for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone say freestyle. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. If I've received freedom, why should I let another person restrict my dancing? I shall dance freely. Tell somebody, I shall dance freely. Because, why? This part is not the church. I said, tell somebody. God bless you. May we be, let's please rise your feet. Let's pray before we sit down. Heavenly Father, thank you. We give reverence to your name. Your word says we praise you because of your excellent greatness and because of your mighty works. You don't just do things, but you are a mighty God. Just by yourself, without doing anything, you are great. And when we see the things that you've done, we can't help but to say that there is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. We welcome your greatness. And we welcome the mystery of your greatness today through your Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. Speak to us. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together and please be seated in the presence of the Lord. You know, this New Jerusalem is real. Yeah, New Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where the presence of God dwells, where His seat is, where His throne is. That's why we say, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come means be king in my life or be king in my domain. Someone say, Lord, be king in my domain. All right, so what is your domain? Your children, your home, your thought processes, your finances, your decision making, your whole life is under His domain. I live. Bible says in Galatians, I believe it's 2:20, says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He loved me enough to give Himself in my place. Why will I not dance for Him? Why will I not preach for Him? Why will I not be kind just to glorify His name? Why will I not demonstrate and use my life as a demonstration of love, the love that is shared? Some of us love ourselves so much that we can't give ourselves for the sake of people. But Bible says the love that the Son of God had, He loved me enough to give Himself for me. Who have you loved? If you love people, the best way, if you want to do it Christ's way, how much of yourself do you give to others? How much of your food does other people enjoy? How much of your clothes? You've grown big. God has blessed you. You've eaten a lot. You've had a lot of food. Now you've grown big. Your clothes are not good fitting on you. For 2 years, you've been trying to lose weight. Your clothes are still in there. And you bought new clothes. Give those clothes away. Give those clothes away. And then when you give those clothes away, it's a sign of love. Then God's love will come to you. And then, even if you lose weight, God will give you what it takes to buy some new clothes. and give your old clothes to Brother Michael, who now has lost weight to be like me. Clap for the Lord Jesus. When at all will you wear those clothes again? Give those clothes out. Those shoes you haven't worn for 2 years, give them out. That extra money, you see the beggar, let him enjoy some. Love people enough to give yourself for them. You're always hearing preaching. When will you be the one who preach to others? Love them enough to give yourself to them. Every time I have to preach to you, when will you start preaching? When will you have a fellowship around you? You come to church by yourself. When will you, such that your church coming will be for others? What it means is that you came because you needed to pick somebody. You needed to call somebody and gather somebody. For God, the Son of God, are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? What kind of a son or daughter are you who doesn't join in the business of his father? Jesus said, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And he said, it's good to say I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Can somebody live because of you? Somebody said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of Brother Michael, who taught me the faith of Christ. And now that is the kind of faith that I live. And it's all because of Brother Michael, who loved me and gave himself to follow me up, gave himself to set up a fellowship, gave himself to set up a little Bible study. And through that, my life is different. He loved me enough to give himself for me. Esther, it's not enough to sing, but give your life for others. Give your life, give your life. Make him the Lord of your life. Ooh, see that boy, see that girl, he is born again. How do they get born again? Somebody has to give their life. How did you get born again? Somebody, as a physician, I've given my life to preach the gospel. And look at beautiful you. Look at handsome you. Look at such a generous array of beautiful people. One man gave himself. If I, even in my busy schedule of a physician, can give my life such that all of you can, on a day like this, celebrate God, perhaps, even if not this dimension, everybody decides to live like Jesus Christ and give yourself a little. Jesus Christ, fine, go by the standards of Jesus. Pastor, your standards are too high. Jesus had 12. But the 12 have filled the earth. Each of them gave their lives. Some were even crucified upside down. Some were fried like fried rice. Yes, like fried chicken. Without wings, deep fried. Yeah, some were sawn asunder, cut through, because they give themselves. Today's Christian gives himself to himself. Today's Christian, when we talk about the Trinity, it's me, myself, and I. Selfishness in the church. Maybe that should be the message I'm preaching today. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to say is that make it worthwhile. What's your use? Have you wasted the blood of Jesus Christ? Was it a waste when it was given to you? The baton, the blood is the baton. Let's switch it. Let others live through us by the grace of God. That's Christianity. That's the Son of God. That's how the Son of God behaves. The Son of God, the daughter of God, is the truth. And this whole month, we've been rehearsing that. Yeah, I sat on the plane and, you know, I didn't realize that COVID has given me such a generous excuse not to say anything to anybody.
Wow.
With the excuse that, oh, you don't have to go close. It's been 1 year since we did that, including myself. And as I've sat on the plane and now things are open, now we pack on plane back.
Wow.
And now I look and even the push to speak to somebody about Christ, I realize I have to think deeply.
Wow.
Calculate in my mind. That's when I realized that this COVID has affected us. Today I broke through by God's grace.
Amen.
It's now. We need to break through and break out.
Amen.
Share the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And therefore, today, this crucified Christ, I'm going to talk about the sign that he died for you. The sign is the blood and the water that came from his side. The blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say the blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Blood of Jesus Christ. See, he gave himself. He died so that you will live. He doesn't even say die, but live. Come alive so that somebody can also live. I'll say it again. Jesus died so that we will live, but he's not requiring your death. He's saying, come alive as a Christian. Come on. Don't be a dead Christian. Come alive so that others can die. I mean, can live for his death. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, I'll come alive. My Christianity will come alive. My blood will live. Amen. Listen, Saria was singing about the New Jerusalem. And here in Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to read this passage. Today I'm going to be reading. And then it will lead us to the blood. It says, and I saw, from verse 11, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead. Even if you drown, God forbid. I mean, even for those who drowned, the sea had to give them up for judgment. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death and hell delivered them up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So, in fact, after the death that we die, there is judgment. Everybody who is dead will come alive for judgment. Even the person died by car accident, by drowning in the sea, by fire, by firing squad, person died by suicide, God forbid, everything will give up. The power that killed the person will no longer have power over that dead person. And that dead person will be given up for judgment. And if your name is not in the book of life, both death and hell, then the lake of fire will have to be activated. You see that? And whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You see, there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down, and God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned or beautified for her husband. Hallelujah. So you see, when you're having a wedding, how you turn your back and then they prepared your wife and it's coming beautifully adorned. That's how heaven is going to be. It's going to be beautiful. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's a new Jerusalem. See, because this heaven and earth, this earth will pass away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. Yes. And I heard a great voice out of heaven. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Never be afraid of death, so long as you've lived for Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will wipe away all tears. If you're having some tears now, it's very temporary. Our eternity will have no tears, wiped away. And there shall be no more death, no more death. Okay? Neither sorrow. You won't have the second death in Jesus' name. Nor crying. Eh? That guy who said, I'm leaving you. And neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Suffering is for this land. The Bible says, if we suffer with him, we'll also be glorified with him. there is some suffering in Christianity for the sake of the New Jerusalem. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell someone, these words are true.
These words are true.
And faithful. So, how do we make sure that we are part, can I have my phone? That we are part of this group. Thank you, my dear. Now, I want to read a passage of our, a passage that will show the New Living Translation, Revelation. So this is the New Jerusalem. But the question is, how do we get there? If we want to get there, turn now from your sins. When we are washed, when we are washed, we can be among God's chosen ones because we will be in the New Jerusalem. Can you sing just part? If you, oh, you can't play just that part. Eh?
If you want to get there, turn now from your sins. When we're washed, we can be among God's chosen ones. You can be in the New Jerusalem.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. God bless you. If you want to, when we are washed, we can be washed with what? Washed with shout.
No.
What are some of the detergents and soaps?
Tide.
Yes.
What?
Ariel.
Gain. OxyClean. Washed with Omo, blue Omo. You don't know. It's Aramaic for shout. Wash with salt?
No.
Wash with bleach?
No.
Clorox? Hand sanitizer?
Hey.
No.
Hand sanitizer. Lysol? No. You can be washed. But today I'm going to tell you about the washing material that makes us clean enough to be fit for the New Jerusalem. Somebody say the blood.
The blood.
When you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you a little background, biblical background, to why the blood of Jesus Christ. Because somebody said that, the blood was shed from one person. It dropped. Yes, it's true. But how does that affect me? 2,000 years ago, I'm living now. If you want to kill somebody for me, yes. Jesus Christ lived for people. He died for people. So shed your blood for me, then I'll be saved. No, let me explain. So Revelation, or Hebrew chapter 9 from verse 7. Listen to this passage well in New Living Translation. But only the high priest in those days, in the Hebrew land, in those days in Israel, only the high priest ever entered what the place we call the most holy place. Everybody came yearly to sacrifice and bring their goats and their bulls and they sacrifice the blood, and somebody had to touch and apply the blood to give access to the Holy of Holies where God's presence was. Somebody has to go and testify that a sacrifice has been made for your family, for your life. Somebody has to go and pray and present the sacrifices and the blood in the Holy of Holies. You can't go there. This one is not even social distance. It was spiritual distancing.
Yes.
You are not allowed access. You contaminate the place. Even the priest, if he had sins and he had not given himself the blood, he will contaminate the place and be killed. You see, the way COVID killed, this one, sin was the COVID. Killing people who came in contact with sin and were not washed, didn't apply the sanitizer called the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, I'll read it again, Hebrews 9, verse 7. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. Can you imagine if we didn't have a way that only once a year we confess our sins? And if you confess your sins, shed the blood, you bring your goat, the blood, and tomorrow you sin, you have to wait 1 year. What if you die? And even he, the high priest, he always had to offer blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people that committed these sins in ignorance. But these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance of the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system of system it represented were still in use. You get the point? So that it was not accessible. This is illustrated, or this is an illustration pointing to the present time. That thing that we saw in those days before Christ, it was an illustration pointing to what God was going to do once and for all. Not just once a year, but it will be done. And even after 2,000 years, forever, it will apply. Amen. Say amen.
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 This is an illustration pointing to the present time. For the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them. That is to say, if your conscience is still the same, you come, you just sin again. It was just a temporary thing. For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. Let's keep going. So Christ has now become that better system, that high priest over all good. You know how the high priest was the one who mediated, took the blood, and then presented it to God so that everybody would be cleansed? Christ is now become the high priest. Say amen, somebody.
Amen. Amen.
High priest over all good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood. Someone say, with his own blood.
With his own blood.
Not the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. Verse 13, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will now purify not just our bodies, but our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God properly. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Somebody say the perfect sacrifice.
The perfect sacrifice.
If Brother Michael was the one whose blood was shed, I would pity you. If Sister Ariel's blood was shed, I would be pitying you, still be praying for you, because it will not work.
Oh.
You see? You're asking, what if it was Pastor Lindsay's blood? You are not thinking correctly. I'm preaching to you, and now you are questioning my sinful background.
Forgive.
Now, what you are trying to tell me is that, Pastor, do you qualify to preach to us?
Yes.
If Sister Ariel, who looks so holy and sings so sanctimoniously, her blood cannot work. And Pastor, you look a little more mean.
Mercy.
May the Lord forgive you for your thoughts. I will not mind you. I pray for you. God will forgive you.
Mercy.
But obviously, none of us, including myself, would have blood that will be perfect enough. So Jesus, the sinless Son of God, had to do superior blood, not just regular blood, superior blood. Okay? That is why he, verse 15, is the only one who mediates a new covenant between God and people. That's why he's the only one. In fact, there's a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Don't change it. But it says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man. It's called the man Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2, 5. Okay, but let me keep reading from verse 15. That is why he is the one, only one who mediates a new covenant or a new contract between God and people. so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under the first covenant. Amen. So the first covenant was that covenant of the blood of the bulls and things, but this covenant is final. Now, verse 18. Now, when someone leaves a will or testament, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made the will is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. Wow. This is why even the first covenant was put into effect with the blood of animals. You see? For after Moses had read each of God's commandments to all the people, he took the blood of the calves and goats along with water and sprinkled both the book of God's law and all the people using hyssop, you know, paintbrush or hyssop branches and scarlet wool. Then he said, "This blood confirms the covenant God has made with you." And in the same way, he sprinkled the blood on the tabernacle or the church. Even the church needed sanctification, and on everything that was used for worship. Everybody, if it was today, everybody who's coming for praise and worship, we should sprinkle you with blood before you worship. Otherwise, God will get angry with us. Yeah. If I come, microphone as he sprinkled the instruments, everybody. You see how you come in, we give you sanitizer first. How we sprinkle, we shoot your forehead, not with a gun, but with the thermometer thing. We should shoot everybody, sprinkle everybody with blood before you enter. Every day. But look what Jesus did. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There's no remission of sins. That's why the tabernacle and everything in it, which were copies of the things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. But the real things in heaven had to be purified with a far better sacrifice than the blood of animals. Yeah, that is to say that, okay, we can sanctify you once for a time here on earth. But for you, even if you are accessing the Holy of Holies, you have to be purified. Then for you to access heaven, you need superior blood. Blood that qualifies you to right here on earth, come to the Holy of Holies, come to the presence of God in worship, qualify you to worship, qualify your conscience to worship, qualify your you to even me. If it wasn't for the blood, I can't preach. Qualifies you, but qualifies you in a way that even in heaven with that perfect blood would accept you. The New Jerusalem cannot reject you. Yes, the sea may give up the dead, but when it goes in effect and they look in the book of life, your name will be written, not because of what you did, but the blood of Jesus Christ. So that you will not be subjected to the second death. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself. Not a copy of the presence of God in the ark, but a heaven itself. To appear now before God on our behalf. Clap for Jesus Christ. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again every year, like the high priest here on earth, who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. Some of you cannot even buy a goat. You can't buy a bull. Kesara, do you have money to buy a cow? And it's not like a big male cow without blemish, without spot, will be in trouble. Every year, when our stimulus check comes, we have to save it. Save it for a cow. Every year, the government will have to give us a stimulus check. Otherwise, it will not be possible. You see, the way that COVID, when COVID is killed, they give you stimulus check just to survive. Because that covenant will not be, it will not be COVID. It will be our virus will be sin. And then the government will be losing too many much manpower. They have to now give everybody a bull. Please, your time is coming. Make sure covenant, buy your bull so that you qualify, so you don't die. Yeah. But Christ entered once. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. May the New Jerusalem find you with the blood and your name written in the book of life. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, chapter 10. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, and not the good things themselves. Okay, those system was not good in itself, but it was a shadow, a presentation, illustration of what to come. Okay, in itself, it wasn't perfect, but it showed us that there's something that can be perfect. If somebody can be in the Holy of Holies, where he sits there, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God because of the blood that he shed. He's interceding daily, not yearly, for us. Yeah, you need to understand these things. These are the stabilizing factors that make Christianity. Look, I sat with a sister, a Jewish sister. One day I was upgraded to first class because I travel a lot by God's grace, you know. And then there was a Jewish rabbi's wife, rich woman, beautiful spirit. And again, as I was witnessing about Christ, I didn't know he was Jew. I said, yeah, I know about Christianity. And what I envy about Christianity as against my Jewish religion is that Christianity, you Christians don't know what you have. And I said, explain to me. I started witnessing to her. She witnessed to me. She made me understand the power of my religion, Christianity. She said, what I've told her about the blood of Jesus Christ is very powerful. Do I know that? I said, do I know that? He asked me, yes, you are a pastor, but do you really know that? I sat down and said, I'm listening, ma'am. Yes, lady pastor. Now you are the priest. Preach. He said, look, we the Jews, who were the origins of the God that you Christians serve. We, what Jesus came to do, we have been doing it yearly. He came to do it once and for all. But we are not allowed to believe. And it's a painful thing. And he said, I keep wondering, when I get there and I realize it was true, what would I do? And he said, every year, because he's a rabbi's wife, he has to not only bring the bulls for her sins, but her husband has to consent to forgive her for misbehaving towards her husband. I didn't even know that part. And she said, when she thinks about it, she says, sometimes my husband is not the best. Sometimes the things that I do wrong, I acknowledge, but it was provoked by my husband. And yet I have to go and apologize so that my blood that I carry will be accepted. And he has to buy the bull for me. And if he refuses, it's done. My sins will not be forgiven.
Hey,
and she asked me, this is what I need to go through every year. And what if I die after my husband accepts for me to accept? I said, you don't have to worry about that. And he said, if I do accept your Christ, that will be the end of my relationship with my husband and with my people. So it's tough. I said, ma'am, maybe you believe, because you seem to know it. You see, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Just that knowledge. You actually believe in your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth is speaking. It says you don't have to tell them that you believe in Jesus Christ and the blood. Carry your bulls. If he doesn't forgive you, no worry. Know that a higher superior, not a bull, a superior Christ, blood is at work. Carry it, my dear. Carry it, my dear sister. So we encourage each other. She encouraged me and I encouraged her. I left that plane knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ is superior. It's higher, more powerful. Even the Jews acknowledge it, but only they don't say it. They don't say it. Many Jews, when you go to Israel, I've been there twice. They call them Messianic Jews. Yeah. Who have been open and declaring Christ and fully. Tell somebody, I'll be there in Jerusalem. And they proclaim Christ over there. Many Jews have believed, but they cannot confess with them. They confess in secret, not to people. Ask the lady that I saw on the plane. But the question is, do Christians believe the way the Jews believe the blood of Jesus?
Mercy.
Do Christians even understand the power of this washing influence of the blood? Do we? The Bible says, you see, it keeps going on to say, you see, under the system, Moses, chapter 10, verse 1, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. It says, the sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide a perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. I feel we should probably even, I don't know what to do to remind us all the time. I'd have said instead of sanitizer, we should put blood. Or color the sanitizer red. That is why we do the communion, to remind ourselves. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That is why those who leave the service, when the preaching finishes and you don't wait for the communion, you don't understand what you're doing. You're missing out. Thank you. Then verse 3, but instead of those sacrifices, actually reminded them of their sins year after year. Yeah, that's what they did. Said every year they were reminded, you have sinned. Eh? Look, you have sinned. Come quickly. Eh? Buy your bull. Otherwise, you will miss out. Eh? And they were even reminded, like this wife. He said, hey, come. Come and ask me for forgiveness. Otherwise, so every year, you just are reminded of your sins over and over. How much of a guilt trip to take. You're going to worship and all you think about is your sins. Oh. But instead, the sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. Jesus said, no. Yeah, you didn't want. So you actually released me from heaven, a replica of you, that I will sacrifice officially, not an animal, but the most perfect kind of entity, the most perfect entity, the replica of God, to sacrifice once and for all. Yes. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures. First, Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or some other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. Jesus said, he has come to do the Father's will. All along, the Father's will, his desire, if you look in 1 Peter, I think chapter 2, verse 9, or 2 Peter 2, 9, he said, God is not willing that any die, but rather all will come to the knowledge of the truth. He didn't desire that. He said, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second covenant in effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins, but our high priest, Jesus Christ. Somebody say, my high priest, Jesus Christ, offered himself to God as a single, once for a lifetime, offering of a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. As if the sacrifice of the blood, Caden, was not enough. He also sat down. That animal, when it is killed and the blood is shed, there's no more life in it. But Jesus shed the blood, and God, knowing what it was for, resurrected him. The blood has done its job. But now come and sit by me and remind me in the place of honor, day after day, interceding, pointing the people, pointing to the blood. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ, Bible says, speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. It speaks. Let's keep going on. Yeah. You know, honor. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then there he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is indeed true. It is so. For he says, this is a new covenant that I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever the scriptures come to you and you feel like doing the will of God, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed you clean enough for the Holy Spirit to have a clean place to settle inside of us and to write the laws on our hearts. Not on tables, not on tablets, not on your phone. That scripture, if it's on your phone, that's nothing. But once it enters you, especially knowing that the blood has now cleansed you, cleanse your conscience to accept the word. The reason why when I preach now, it appeals to you is because of what the blood has already done and the place it has created, made you a temple, settled you, put the Spirit of God inside of you now to teach you. Can't you see that when you were not born again, the same scriptures came and you couldn't do them? Hallelujah. Then he says, verse 17, I will never again remember the sins and the lawless deeds. What a promise. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. Oh, I feel like continuing. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So when I stand here and I'm telling you, Sister Ariel's blood cannot qualify, Brother Micah's blood cannot qualify, and I don't mention my name and your question, but Pastor, what about you? You are right. You are right. But I have some powers you know not of. The power of the blood that makes me realize that I qualify. Even though I am not the high priest that Jesus was, I qualify because of what he did. I have access. You know, all of us that sometimes, you know, when, you know how it is that when you fall into sin, and I hope you fall into sin, that you didn't dive into sin. If you fell into a river and then we are coming to grab you, it is not suicide. But when you dive into it, you are committing suicide. Committing suicide. That's the kind of people say that the sea gave up. Some people just dived into it. No, may you, when sin comes, may it be because you fell into sin, not that you dived into sin. There's a difference. And Bible says those who fall into sin, don't worry. Don't let the devil just push you away. Many people, when you even invite them to church, they say, oh, I need to sort myself out. I need to deal with certain sins in my life. You dealing with sins? Even the pastors can't deal with their own sins. The sin is actually dealing with you. What is happening? The sin is dealing with you and preventing you from even going to church and accepting the blood. If you say you're dealing with the sin is dealing with you. Never ever say that. Even if just yesterday something terrible happened, you just got tempted and you stole some fish and that thing is still in your throat. Like the one time I stole a meat from the refrigerator and I heard my daddy's footsteps. And as I heard, instead of chewing, I chewed a few and entered. Instead of chewing, I swallowed it. And my father was now standing there. What am I doing in the open refrigerator? I said, I'm cleaning. I said it. I just demonstrated cleaning. I didn't, because the thing was in my throat. I was about to die. I'm cleaning. When I needed the blood to clean me, I'm saying I'm cleaning. I was cleaning nothing. The sin was actually dirty in me. And fortunately, my father walked out. My goodness. There was so much meat to finish the job I started. I couldn't even continue. Because the one inside here, because of sin, was stuck. That night, I suffered. I got gastric outlet obstruction. I still didn't tell my parents what was wrong. They brought me, will you drink? Will you eat? What is wrong? I said, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. The sin was dealing with me now. Instead of dealing with my sins, the sins dealt with me. Tormented me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what sin does. I could have died that day. But thank God that it is still under the blood. And so many more sins that I've sinned. But shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Bible says one of the things that the blood of Jesus Christ does, if it has really worked, then it purges your conscience. And it allows the Holy Spirit to come in. You read it here. And the Holy Spirit now writes the law on your heart and gives you a certain passion for obedience. Yeah. He that has been forgiven much, loveth much. One sign of Christianity is that if the blood is really effective, yes, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you see that you feel that a certain desire to do the will of God, to please God, to obey his word, is because of what the blood did, cleansing you once and for all, and what the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, when the blood was done, it was not over. He died, shed the blood, cleansed us, went to heaven, sat down and told the Father, it's time for part two of the real cleansing. And he sent the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit can settle upon them, can enter into their heart, can teach them day by day how to live. That's a spiritual Christian, all because of the blood. That's why the Good Samaritan, as a symbol of what Christ did, when he came, he saw people half dead, just like Christians were half dead. We're just waiting to be delivered for the second death. But he saw the half dead man from Jerusalem to Jericho. And then the Bible says he poured oil, wine, and he poured oil. The wine represents the blood. The blood that is the first aid. It does its job, but it only makes room for the Spirit. May the Spirit have his work after the... Amen. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter the Holy of Holies by, verse 20, by his death, Jesus opened a new and a life-giving way through the curtain into the holy, most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, full of fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with the Christ's blood, which makes us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Hallelujah. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you know that song? What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, 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 precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other. Let's start it again. Can you hear the words? What can wash my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me quiet.
for the Lord Jesus. Let me just read to you and then we're done. So number one, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Number two, the blood of the Lamb has the supernatural power to save you from the consequences of your sins. Now I'm reading the summary of this passage in the book How to Preach Salvation, chapter 13. Number three, you get it, listen carefully. Number three point of all that we've read is that the blood of the Lamb has a supernatural power to prevent death. I know you didn't get it right, don't worry. The blood of the Lamb has a supernatural power to prevent death. To prevent death, spiritual death. Now, number four, you can catch up later. Yeah, number four. The blood of the Lamb has a supernatural power. Everything starts with has a supernatural power. So you can just write the last bit, you know, to bring you back from the dead. Back, restore you from the dead. When you go home, read the book of Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You see, that great shepherd can also bring us back. So that blood can bring us back. Okay? You know, even in natural, there are people, sometimes I'm on emergency call and somebody comes vomiting blood because they've drunk a lot of alcohol and their liver is destroyed. So blood has filled, there's a blood vessels underneath their esophagus here. But because they've drunk so much, that liver has destroyed, it's only fibrous tissue, scar tissue. And the blood vessels cannot go anywhere. They accumulate here. When they rupture, they vomit like a tap. The only way, you can't even fix it until you replace the blood. Listen, sin has that effect. It's like alcohol. Destroys our liver. What causes us to come alive? And we need the replenishing blood of Jesus Christ. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Number five, the blood of the Lamb of God has the supernatural power or ability to open the gates of heaven for you. We realize that now there is access because of the blood. Remember that we said that. That's just a summary of everything we've just read. Then number six, the blood of the Lamb of God has a supernatural power. Everything starts with that. To overcome the devil of the evil one. You know, so it's not only what he did, but its effect. So Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, and they overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Okay, sometimes when you love your life too much, you go back to death. You give up the blood. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Call on the blood of Jesus Christ. Always call on the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? So that is very powerful. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, it looks like I have a couple more minutes. Let me just read to the end of what I just read to you. Okay? What I just read to you over here. Finish that chapter and then you go. Just reading. I've given you the point. Let me just read to you what it finally boils down to. Now, it finishes to say. Now, from verse 22, Hebrews 10:22. There's a couple of verses left. Let us go right into the presence of God. Please, from now, be bold to pray. From now, be bold to come for communion. From now, to be bold enough to come to church. Not because I've sinned and I'm rebellious enough. I don't care what I've done, I'll come. But because you know and by faith that the blood of Jesus Christ has answered for your sins. And some of us, our background is tormenting us. Some of us have committed abortion, have even murdered somebody. Some of us have stolen. Some of us have actually lied about somebody so that you keep your job. Yes, some of us even have insulted our parents, have disrespected, and that guilt feeling is so strong. now that you know that there is not, that there's something that can wipe away your sins. That thing is not shout. That thing is not whatever gain. That thing is not tithe. It's not, what is Tylenol? Tylenol is not for washing. Tithe. Please don't mislead me, okay? And you said tithe, not Tylenol. That is not that, but it's the blood of Jesus. You should be able to tell the devil, please, please, don't remind me of this sin again. The blood of Jesus Christ has answered for it. And with a clean conscience, now live for Christ. Amen. And then he goes on to say that, let us now go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with the pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep this promise. They are not just words. These are promises. Hold God to it. When you are feeling that guilt of the past, you can hold God to it. He said he's faithful and he can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And that's when he talks about church. Then he says, and let us not neglect our meeting together with one another, as some people do. Some people who they come to church once and they stop. Let us not stop because we feel whatever, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of Christ's return is drawing near. That means that church is not the place to be reminded of these things, so that you'll be strong. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Then he says, verse 26, dear friends, if we are deliberately continuing to sin after we have received this knowledge of this truth, there is now no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. That means, that's why I say, please, it's okay to fall into sin, but don't dive into sin. There is only one terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy of the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think now how much more, how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy. For we know the one who said, I will take revenge, I will pay them back. He also said, the Lord will judge his own people. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. Think back on those early years, days, when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful. He's talking about those of us who backslidden. Remember how we're faithful. How you remain faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule, were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering through the same thing. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, when all you owned was taken from you. You accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord, in the blood. Remember the great reward it brings to you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Clap for the Lord Jesus. 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 We have three more verses. Let me finish reading. For in just a little while, the coming one will come, and he will not delay. And he will not delay. He will not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. Righteous by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Don't turn away. Final verse. Final verse. Don't turn away. Final verse. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Put your hands together, rise to your feet. Let's celebrate this with communion. Let's celebrate this with communion. Let's celebrate this with communion. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now put your heart, your hand on your heart. If you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you are here and the blood of Jesus Christ had not meant these powerful effects, you didn't know this, but now that you know, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Now that you know, you want to rededicate your life, even if you are a Christian, to Jesus Christ. This is your opportunity. Before we come to the communion, now we drink the blood properly and eat his body properly. Why don't we make a confession of this powerful blood? If you want to give your life to Jesus, say this after me. If you want to rededicate your life to, say this after me. Say, Almighty Father, I am back. I now understand what it was all about. This is not a partial salvation. This is not a temporary relationship. The blood of Jesus Christ has made it possible for me to connect with you once and for all, forever. My relationship with you as a Christian is forever. I am awaiting the new Jerusalem. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ and its effects to wash me clean, to make me perfect before you. Please, with that fact that the death of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of his blood set me free unto salvation, please write my name in the book of life and fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit and write your words on my heart and give me the ability, the conscience to stay on, to continue on as a Christian for real in this beautiful new life. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Thank you, Jesus, for I am born again, born of the blood, born of the Spirit, born of the Word of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Wow. Weren't you blessed by that anointed Word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom at meeting ID 934-809-4313 or in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.